how low the sun is. The sun is high now, and so I don't have to squint my eyes particularly looking in that direction. Yesterday, looking into the same crater, even though it wouldn't be any darker in there because the sun was there, I would never be able to do that.
That's
right
Al
now,
Bean.
I can see all six marks, and I've taken the photographs. I'm going to go out and do solar wind now.
He's going to photograph the...
Roger, Al.
Visibility here is on Earth, really. You adapt just as well, and the only major difference I've noticed is the fact that when you're out here on these this area, if you look cross-sun, the moon appears one color. If you look down-sun, it's another. If you look up-sun, it's another. But looking into shadows or anything else like that, pretty much the same as on Earth.
Al Bean is confirming that idea of the surface colors appearing different according to what your sun lighting happens to be, the angle of your view versus the angle at which the sun is shining on that surface you're looking at.
Roger, we'll give you back the relay.
That was a very clear description and explicit description of this phenomenon from
because
Al Bean.
It's pronounced wrapped around the pole now that I get out here, Houston. It's, looks pretty much like yesterday, just sort of, and I guess it was a sort of an optical illusion from inside the spacecraft.
Oh, Al is apparently...
I think there's pictures of it, but I don't think there's anything unusual going on there.
He apparently has
Roger,
this...
Al, and Pete, if it's convenient, and you can find another rock there and give her a heave experiment, sure would like to see another one.
Well, want to roll another rock down
okay,
the crater.
Okay, I was... setting up my black hole and all that good things for the polarizing light. And
he's going to take some pictures here of a rock hole.
Hey, I was looking at a rock that has small crystals in it. One of them is shining very, very bright green, like ginger ale bottle green.
Some bright green crystals, like the crystals in a ginger ale bottle.
Al, are you on your way? That's firm. I'm now making sure that everything is in the hand tool carrier here. I'm coming. I'm mounting them pretty firmly. Say, Houston, as I was working around the hand tool carrier a moment ago, the canvas bag came loose. It took me about 2 minutes to put it back together again. It came off the metal side. It looks like those clips that hold it on are going to be completely inadequate, and I expect that we're going to have some trouble with it all day today. Hope you ought to think about fixing it before next time.
Roger, Al, we copy that. Do you think once you put a little weight in it, she'll hold better?
I think he's talking...
I don't know. They don't seem to have a lot of friction on the sides there, and the bag just floats around it. It needs to be more firmly attached some way.
I believe he's
Roger.
Talking about the saddlebag, the side bag, not being very firmly attached to the spacesuit. And when you put weight in them, apparently there isn't enough gravity to hold them down or enough friction to cause them to stay up against the spacesuit.
Rhett Turner, if we may interrupt at this time, we'll be returning in just a few minutes to our live coverage of this second spacewalk of Apollo 12 astronauts Charles Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, the voice of America's worldwide coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. Now, a brief summary of late news from the VOA newsroom.
As you have heard, America's two Apollo astronauts have emerged from their lunar lander for their most extensive exploration of the moon. Charles Conrad and Alan Bean will walk over to the now-defunct Surveyor 3 craft, which has been on the moon since April 1967. They will try to retrieve some of its parts to find out the effects of a lengthy stay in the lunar environment. In other news, Egypt and Israel reported heavy exchanges of fire across the southern sector of the Suez Canal. In the air, Israel said all its planes returned safely after carrying out successful attacks against Egyptian artillery positions, but Egypt said its artillery drove off the Israeli planes. The United States has condemned a resolution by the Egyptian National Assembly blaming the United States for lack of progress toward a Mideast settlement. Strikers in Italy and France battled with police in a wave of labor unrest while a teacher strike hit Britain. In Milan, a policeman was killed, 55 police injured, and at least 8 strikers hurt in a battle during the nationwide walkout against the high rents. In Helsinki, American and Soviet representatives Thursday hold the second session of preliminary talks on limiting strategic weapons. No progress report was issued after Wednesday's session. The ranking Republican member of the United States Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator George Aiken, says he thinks the United States is in a position to announce another withdrawal of troops from Vietnam by the end of this year. And at the United Nations, 28 members submitted a resolution calling for the prosecution of persons who seize civil aircraft in flight. That's the news in brief from the Voice of America.
And this is the Voice of America, broadcasting with live coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. At the moment, astronauts Pete Conrad and Alan Bean are about 43 minutes into their second moonwalk, their second EVA. They are collecting geological samples, samples of the lunar surface material, rocks, soil, things of interest of that type. Let's go back to the Manned Spacecraft Center and correspondent Rhett Turner.
We're listening to Al and Pete on the surface of the moon.
And some of the other rocks that seem to be resting in a hole, I'm putting them all in a...
That's Al Bean.
One here, I mean...
He's putting some rocks in
some
sample bag one.
Some of the others don't have any coating on them at all. I'm picking them up with the tongs, but I can't tell how strong they are, but they don't seem to hold together too well. They seem kind of weak. There you go. I'll head on over where Pete is.
He says...
Roger, L, we copy that. If you're going to document that, try to get some of the material around the glass as well as the glass itself.
Some of these crystal-like rocks with glass in them, some of them seem to be weak, Al says.
I want to get over and start working with Pete as a team here.
Roger.
Just didn't want to have to try to remember where that was.
They are separated a couple hundred meters, I believe, here now. Al is back near that solar wind window shade type device. He took some more pictures of it and described how it was mounted on the pole there. And then he is to join Pete near the head crater, as it's called, the head of the figurative snowman, and work as a team. He's used his tongs.
I've been concentrating, Houston, as I came walking over here to the head crater to see if there were any... possible changes in either texture, slope, color, anything you can think of or anything that I could think of that would say to me that I was walking on a different surface than I was when I started. And I haven't seen a thing yet. It all looks the same. It all looks like it's covered with this black rock.
Don't kick dust in the middle of my polarized picture area.
Yeah, I'll stop right here.
Okay. Put the tool carrier down and get your upsun pictures. You see where my footsteps are? That rock that's half buried and the two rocks that I've turned over in my footsteps?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 15 feet F11, 2 shots. Now, you're not going to get the before, unfortunately.
Okay, how about right? Better have my shadow here or over there?
No, that's the pile right there.
Al's to take pictures of some rocks that Pete walked past and turned over with his feet. Pete said, be careful, don't kick dust up on his documented pictures, the pictures that he's trying, the material that he's trying to get documented, photographic material on.
Oh, okay. Want me to shoot it from right here?
Yeah, and you're in 15 feet back up. You're in
15 feet. I sure will. 15 feet, and it ought to be about F11.
Pete Conrad hasn't been humming or singing during this second.
He will. Give him time.
He became the first singer on the moon, I guess.
Yeah, dum-de-dum-dum-dum, as he bounds along, if my simulation has any accuracy to it.
Okay, got those two. Got a couple pictures there, Houston. Let me tell you what my camera reading is now, and then we can try to keep up with it from time to time. Next time I'll come over here by Pete, and we'll...
This is the Hasselblad camera he's talking
Houston,
about.
I've shot 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 pictures.
These are the...
15, Pete.
These are the 70 millimeter
still pictures. Okay, and on my mark, I'm going to send a slightly
smaller
This is
rock
part of the process of documenting the various
Roger,
samples.
We're watching. So.
Yes, the pictures as well as the commentary.
I didn't quite kick it hard enough. Wait one, I'll do it again.
In Mission Control, obviously a very accurate timeline is being followed, both electronically and mechanically, which can be coordinated with their voice descriptions of things they see and do.
Copy your mark, Al. Repeat, and 1D on that sample bag.
One documented rock in that sample bag.
You know, it's a funny thing. Houston, in 1/6G, even though bulbs are steep and everything, these rocks just don't want to go anywhere.
Pete's
Roger,
having trouble
Pete,
unearthing
the
rocks.
To pick it up on the PSE here.
Or should we say unmooning the rocks?
Okay, it was too small a rock.
You see the game you get into in trying to transfer from geological Earth-like terms to lunar terms. The space agency and the geologists have decided to go ahead and use regular terms used by Earth-like in the earthly science of geology and geography and so forth.
Even the word geology,
yeah,
Red,
means
is an Earth
geo.
Term.
It's an Earth term.
Geo, referring to the Earth. Terra, referring to the Earth. Terrain, terrestrial.
If you didn't, it would be pretty confusing.
Yeah, we'd have lunology when we're talking
Cetlanology.
About...
Cetlanology.
Yeah, and then we'd have, what, Marsology or something when we get to Mars and so forth. So it could be an endless thing that could become very confusing.
I've got an area right over here. It looks like a good area to work in. Okay. Little white spatter-type craters. They look like they're very fresh impact, like that little one right there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Let me go over here. There's three in a row, and let's work this area a little bit, which is the corner of head crater they wanted us to work.
Okay.
And we can work right here and up to the top of it.
If what corner is this?
We're in the northwest corner.
Okay.
Right, as I indicated on the map.
Okay,
now I don't want to get any dirt in this thing. That's pretty interesting.
Okay,
a little secondary impact crater, huh?
The voices of Pete Conrad and Alan Bean as they walk about the surface of the moon, collecting geological material.
Also got to be careful with this tool carrier, Houston. Did you want to put the gnomon in, Pete?
The gnomon is another one of these standard devices which gives them a local vertical. It has sort of like a level, a long bar that swings straight down, and also it has a color scale on it. If this gnomon is in the pictures they take of rocks, this is another reference point which can tell geologists how to analyze the size, the shape, and the position of the rock as it was found on the surface of the moon.
Sample this rock right here. This rock is very typical of all the fragments around here.
They're working in the vicinity of the head crater near the place where they deployed all of the ALSEP scientific package.
Oh, I sure did, didn't I? Yeah, that's the first time we've seen that. Now, in fact, you know what it looks like here? It looks like it may be this darker material. Well, I don't know. I'm going to photograph that, too. Let me get... Okay,
some darker material, apparently.
Yeah, Houston, kind of interesting here. Pete walked across one edge of the rim here, and we're about, 50 feet inside the upper rim, and he happened to scrape an area there with his foot and some much lighter colored soil, like cement. Yeah, let me just...
Down inside the head crater, Pete has found some lighter colored soil. Looks more like the color of cement, which would be a gray rather than a black. They're going to get some of it.
You've got to be careful with that hand tool carrier. It'll fall over.
Right?
The hand tool carrier is sort of a tripod device.
Sample bag number 13.
Holds all the tools they must use. Tongs, scoops. They can't lean all the way over and touch the surface in these... pressurized spacesuit, so they need these special tools.
Steps in the light soil versus the dark, and we can trench there. Okay, I just put it into 3D.
He can trench.
3D, Al.
In just a second.
He put some of this material in documented sample number 3, bag number 3D.
Let me get a picture of what you're doing. I'm getting a stereo pair of the thing.
Okay.
Now, this stereo pair is done with a special close-up camera developed by Dr. Gold of Cornell. And this is a camera with color stereoscopic color pictures, tiny little color slides in a what looks like a column. The device is placed right over, right on the surface, right over the sample to be photographed. They're going to photograph the trench from which a part of this light soil was scooped.
Move over here where I can bag it better for you.
On all the documented samples, they do take pictures. They do take photographs. In one of our conversations with Al Bean, which we may be able to play for you again, you'll hear Al describe the little dance, the little precise series of maneuvers that he and Pete have laid out to go through.
And you look over the eastern side or the north and south and you see some, but there's quite a bit more over here on the west for some reason. If I could go out, turn on your Sentinelonian and help me. Okay.
Roger, Al, we copy that.
Look at that, we copy that.
Okay, look at that. Stick your finger in that white soil with the brown, huh? There you go.
The two astronauts are over 200 meters away from the spacecraft now, to the west and north, just about the left ear of the head crater. At times, down inside the crater rim.
Okay. Well, Pete digs up, sure enough, right underneath the surface, you'll find some much lighter gray oil. I don't exactly know why at this point. And you can look around now and see several places where we've walked that the same things occurred. We never have seen this at all.
It's Al Bean.
That's a good picture, Pete. Never seen this at all on the area we were before. Hey, that looks nice.
This is down inside the shallow wall.
You think it could be the sun angle?
Listen. No, not at all. This is definitely a change to a light gray. As you go down and the deeper Pete goes, he's down about 4 inches. Now it's still... remains this light gray. It's the soil must be of a different makeup than that we were on outside the crater, because we have.
Hey, this is different than around the spacecraft, because we've picked up all kinds of stuff around the spacecraft, and it's all the same color.
Top and bottom. This is quite a different.
But this soil looks like it.
I tell you what we should do here, Pete.
But
why don't you dig deeper? Yeah, dig as deep as you can, then get me a sample of right out of the bottom, because this will be something new. I'll put it in sample bag number 5D.
5D, sample bag
5D. Hey, copy 5D, and would you give your location relative to the center of head crater? Specifically, are you just on the west side of it where we have the triple crater?
We're on the northwest corner of it, right where you told us to go, Houston.
Roger, you should be very close to that triple crater.
Well, there, Pete.
Inside the head crater on the northwest side.
Well, there's one crater.
They're scooping a hole out to try to get some of this lighter material as deep as possible, and they told Mission Control, some geologists in the back room obviously asking this, if it possibly could be the sun angle which was causing them to think that this was lighter material. They said, no, not at all. They're rather sure of what they're seeing.
There you go.
Scooping a hole out to dig some dirt from down deep.
Up from down deep. Is that a rock?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Get another sample back. All right. That's a good one, because that's
a way. Let me get a picture of it first.
I dug it up out of the hole. It's hard to keep the soil in the bag.
Stereo pair.
Pete's taking the pictures. Al's doing the digging, I believe.
No.
Pete's got the stereo camera.
Okay.
He says, I'll take a stereo pair.
There's, of course, a little of the topsoil mixed in because the sides collapsed. Angle of repose is about 85 degrees, but the minute you bump the side, it falls in. It's not cohesive at all, even though it seems to remain nearly vertical. I guess it's the low gravity. Hey, that's a nice rock. It's just handed me a rock from the bottom of the hole, and it's covered in the gray. I can't see anything in it other than just the gray dirt covering, soil covering. Let me get a...
These men have received extensive geological training. They are primarily test pilots and engineers, but they are both very proud of the training they've received and are determined to do their best to be good geologists. Al Bean himself has said he thinks that he can, because of the places around the world he's been, he can do as good a job as anybody.
You kicked over a rock that had a white bottom and might have been different at the top.
Pete kicked over a rock there.
I want to take a picture of that.
That had a lighter colored underside. They are going to get a picture of that. They're on the northwest edge of the head crater. They're moving up to the top of the head.
How long do you want us to spend it at head crater? Because it looks like we could just spend all the time here if we wanted. That's what's bothering me. We could do that any place here on the moon.
Pete, we show that you're 58 minutes into the EVA, and we'd like to get you over to Bench Crater and leaving there something on the order of 1 plus 12. We can slip that a bit. So we suggest you finish up where you are, what you're doing there at head, and move on.
Okay, Al, where's the map? I got the map right here, Pete. Why don't you take a look at this? By the way, this is the smartest idea we came up with, Houston. This map just works great out here. Okay, let me take a picture of this rock.
They have an accurate map of this part of the lunar terrain that's been prepared from lunar orbiter photographs. In fact, the lunar orbiter photographs are so distinct that the 2-meter mound near which the ALSUP package has been placed shows up clearly in these photographs from one of the earlier spacecraft.
The triple crater is just south of your present position, and why don't you just go ahead and move on?
They're right at the northwest edge of the head crater.
Okay, I got you.
And there's a small triple crater unit. We can see it in our pictures right here, our map. We have the traverse very clearly in view from a television display being transmitted to us from Mission Control.
Okay, yeah, there's a good picture. Let me get that one.
And then our own...
Let me see what we've done is turn over one of the rocks on the rim. And the bottom part of the rock is gray. About half of it. This rock happens to be about a 6-inch diameter rock. That gives you stereo orbit. And the top is the same color as the... you got it in your shadow. Dude, I'll take another one. Okay, maybe you want it.
The astronauts following a plan very clearly laid out because of this accurate mapping available to them from previous space missions.
Glints of crystals or something. Yeah, every one of them. All right, let me have that. There's your tube. All right, we're going to hit for Bench Crater. Okay, now, we didn't get our pans here, did we? No, and I'm going to get it when I get to the triple craters, which is right over here. Sounds good. They're right over here. I can't see them. I got to look over the hill.
This triple crater area they're talking about is right at the top of the head crater, and then they're going to move about 150 to 70 meters to the south toward what is known as Bench Crater, another prominent landmark.
Look at these craters, Al.
They're right at the triple crater configuration now.
Do you want head crater? Triple craters? Is that what you want, or do you want the triple craters?
They're asking Houston what they'd like more.
Pete, we suggest you just move on to Bench. And comment on that double core tube. If you find a spot that looks soft, go ahead and sink the double core tube.
We'll do it at Bench.
Roger.
It's really a shame, Houston. We could work out here for 8 or 9 hours. The work is no strain at all.
Work is no strain at all, says Pete Conrad.
I've got three quick pictures of triple craters, Houston.
He believes they could work there for 8 or 9 hours if they wanted to.
We're not going to get to that other one. Bench is it, but that looks like a real interesting area on the far corner of Bench, Al. You know, those big rocks, some of them could be bedrock out of somewhere. But I'm kind of wondering, we're passing up these here, and they got to be bedrock from somewhere. We need to get a pretty large size one here before we leave this area, Pete. I'll tell you what we've done. I'll stop right here and take a pan. Okay, how's that grab you?
Now they're beginning to move to
the
south. This traversal or hike or walk will take them 150 meters down to the south of this area toward what is called Bench Crater.
74. They're moving straight south now.
Moving straight south.
Hey, that's all right. Let's get it.
There's an interesting rock. Hey, let's
get
in.
Let me read your camera and you can read mine if you would.
They're going through this little procedure. First of all, they decide on a sample to be looked over.
How about mine?
Pete apparently is holding the stereo pair camera. They take a picture of
it.
Pete puts it in a documented bag, stows it. They describe it. They describe it to Earth and then move on to the next. They're about 2 hours ahead of time in going outside and doing these particular activities,
okay,
according
now,
to the original flight plan.
That's a rock taking settings, 5 feet, F8-1250. Okay. All right, Al, where do you want to grab a sample here? Right here. I'd like to grab that rock right there because it's got kind of a sharp edge on it, and all the rest of them are kind of, it's got kind of an oblique edge on it, and you don't see many like that around
here.
He has a rock that doesn't seem to be as rounded and smooth as some of the others. That one looks geologically interesting.
I'll just grab it and put it in this box if we can pick it up. This one, the big one? The big one. Ho, ho, ho. Wait till I get the pictures. Okay.
See,
we
Al's...
We can do that. We can just put it in the bag. I think that's kind of a different-looking rock.
Al has decided on a rock. Pete is taking pictures of it. Then Al will pick it up.
Just in the way it's shaped...
He's describing it now to
Houston. And it's partly rounded and got some pretty angles on it. Maybe under all that dirt is something a little bit different.
Maybe under that dirt is something a little different. We copy that, says Mission Control.
All right. It's all right. All right. I'm up. No sweat. Okay. Attaboy. You know you got the rock. That's what counts. Okay.
We got the rock.
I'm
a bit curious what might be under this.
That unusual shape was the dirt that was adhering to it. It's okay, we'll take it back with us. Good rock. And this is probably typical of the rocks around this crater, Houston. So, I think it'll be a good sample for us.
Al says this is typical of the rocks around this crater. He thinks it'll be a good sample for them. I believe that's the crater halfway between the head and what is known as Bench Crater to the south. They are moving south.
5% rocks, yep, like that.
Yep, they go anywhere from 2.5, 3 feet all the way down to small fry.
That's right. There's even one by you there that's 3 feet. That's not much. Look at the fillets around that rock.
That's deep. That's fillet.
A
wait a minute. I got to stop and get that. Hold it.
Okay,
on.
Let's do it. In fact, maybe we can take it on 2 or 3 sides. Have to watch. Trouble is, when there you go. That's a good rock. Hey, look at the pips in it, too. That's obviously going to strike a lot better.
Al says, look at the pips in that rock. The little holes in it.
About 2 feet thick. Got a background. Well rounded. Got,
describing it.
A lot of surface pits in it. I can see the glitter.
Listen, I got to back off to 15 feet. This one.
Okay.
Got a good stereo pair.
He's going to back off. He's going to back off 15 feet.
Are you able to find any chip from that rock in the near vicinity?
This is not unlike all the other rocks around here, Houston. Yeah, let's get that. That's a good idea. All the rocks we've been looking at, Houston, in this area seem to be the same. They seem to have a... the rock has got dirt built up on all sides of it, all directions.
Sure does. It looks about equal, too, doesn't it?
It looks about equal, that's right.
Very interesting. I don't know what the means of transport, but it's built up around it.
Do something here.
There's lunar soil.
Description of a fillet. A fillet is a rock with soil piled up around the edges.
The surface of it is first pitted. There's some pits that are maybe even up to 3/8 of an inch in diameter on it. However, most of them are small. It doesn't look like a basalt, although the grains are too small for me to see anything, identify any specific one. Some of the pits have glass in it, which is not too surprising, and many of them don't. That's about all we can say about that rock. That's typical of the one in the area.
Roger L, can you give us a sample bag number and then press on?
Okay, well, we didn't take a sample there.
The couple that we did take a sample of previously are the same type. So the last couple of samples have been of the same type rocks that we're discussing. Okay, Houston, I'm coming up on Bench Crater right now.
We've now arrived at Bench Crater, 150 meters to the south of the head crater.
This looks like a very interesting crater. It's different. Oh, and I see some really different rocks. A big one.
Pete sees a big rock that's different.
Bedrock.
Looks like bedrock, he says.
What a crater. Ow. Oh, boy. Hey, Al, look, come on over here.
I'm coming.
This is a crater about 60 meters across.
Sounds interesting, Al. And Pete, sounds as though you're getting down to bedrock. Is that a firm?
Yeah, they got to be bedrock in the one at the bottom. As a matter of fact,
boy, there's some big fragments out here.
Pictures. It looks to me like stuff is melted in the bottom of it. I can't swear that, but I'll get you some pictures.
Pete says it looks like some stuff is melted in the bottom of it, this bench crater about 60 meters across. They're going down in it. They've traversed now south of the head some 150 to 70 meters.
Five, six. Okay, let me go around the other little bit here.
The astronauts now have been outside on this exploration for an hour and 9 minutes thus far. And you're listening to the voices of astronauts Pete Conrad and Al Bean coming to you from the surface of the moon. And we're broadcasting this to you live as it's coming back to Earth over the facilities of the Voice of America.
Rhett Turner, we'll ask you to stand by at the Manned Spacecraft Center as we return to our VOA Apollo News Center here in Washington, the Voice of America's continuing coverage of the flight of Apollo 12. At the moment, Pete Conrad and Alan Bean, for the second time, walking about the surface of the moon collecting samples. They've been outside their spacecraft a little over an hour. We'll return to their conversations from the moon and for a description of that following this summary of late world news.
Apollo 12 astronauts Charles Conrad and Alan Bean, still eager and high-spirited, have begun their second and last moonwalk. The traverse will cover about 1,500 meters across several lunar craters and will finally take them to the site of the Surveyor 3 lunar probe, which soft-landed on the moon.